Hey, guess what? Tom Skilling is joining us again for the first time in 2021. Tom, how are you? How's 2021 treating you? How's it going so far?
Oh, Anna, I'm telling you, other than what we see going on around us, and I think concerns about that, I'm doing well. And Happy New Year to you, belatedly. I hope you had a great holiday. I know you were busy at home, and that's a good way to be, Anna.
Yeah,
and you're staying safe and healthy.
Getting things done, feeling very grateful for small things and big things like my health and the people around me. And I know you feel the same way. We've talked about that a lot.
I do.
Have you been working hard so far? Did you get to take any time off? I know over the holidays you worked a ton. Did you get to take any time off, Tom Skilling?
You know what, Anna? I'm doing fine. Yes, I did. I took a week off last week, as a matter of fact. We didn't go anywhere. Just was here and happy. And, you know, following this winter weather we've got, this is extraordinary. We're running a 7 degree or near 7 degree surplus for this month. We were 5 degrees above normal in December. What a winter this has been. And I was just counting, we've been 18 consecutive days at or above normal here. May not have felt like it because it's kind of been cloudy and raw. And heaven knows we haven't had a lot of sun, so it's good to see the sun back today. You know that seven of the past 11 days have had absolutely no sunlight. So I'll tell you, and I think we're all on top of everything else in a state of seasonal affective disorder after all this lack of sunshine around.
No doubt about it. I love winter. I really do. I don't like super cold. I don't like polar vortex-y type of stuff. But the sun, I think. The sun, I think, that does affect so many of us after many days
so
without it.
And, you know, Anna, when you look at what kind of sunlight we get less than 50% of our possible sun around here from November through March. And January is tied with November as our second cloudiest month of the year. We have only, on average, in January, about 41% of our possible sun. So, I'm sure this contributes to the sense on the part of many that this is kind of a depressing time of the year, but we get through it. And, we've certainly been short on the snow. It's remarkable. There are places in Texas that have had more snow than we have, which is pretty remarkable. We've had only a little over 5 inches of snow so far this year. They've had 12 inches in Amarillo.
All the kids are asking, where's the snow? Because the sledding and the snowing and the snowball fights and all the stuff that they love to do, it's haven't been a lot of that to do lately. However, you referenced Texas. I'm thinking, I was seeing that, amazing that Austin received several inches of snow. You looked at San Antonio, places like that I don't think typically get that much snow.
No, it's true. I mean, they get snow and they have ice storms down in Texas, particularly North Texas. But, when you do get this, it is a bit unusual. Tell you something that we're seeing that's interesting to watch in the longer range as we look ahead here. There's a warm air dome developing. Our Arctic regions have been above normal. Even though if you looked at the absolute temperatures, they look cold. But they've been above normal up there, and they're supposed to warm even more. We're getting a feature known as a Greenland block. That's a big dome of warm air up there. In the next couple of weeks. That's normally a cold signal for us here in the Midwest, because what it does is it buckles the jet stream up there. It ridges around that warm air dome. And when you buckle the jet stream in one place in the Northern Hemisphere, it buckles all over. So there are upstream and downstream results from that. And in our area, it often leads to a flow of colder air in from Canada. So we may be about ready to cycle into a colder regime. And it also, I was looking at the maps this morning. There are a couple of systems in the next 2 weeks that we watch for possible snow development. We'll see if they come to anything. But it's easier to forecast the general temperature regime. Snow bands in a storm may only be 100 or a couple hundred miles across. So those are harder things to pinpoint and will depend on future storm tracks. But what I'm saying is we may be entering a colder phase than we've seen so far in coming weeks. We'll turn colder later this week, but before that happens, we could be up in the 40s tomorrow and part of the day Thursday at least, which is pretty extraordinary. That's about 10, 11 degrees above normal for this time of the year.
Yeah, I'm looking at your 7 day here, and you're right. It's 38 and 40 for Tuesday, Wednesday, and then as you move across, it does get progressively colder. But it doesn't look like that abnormally cold for January in the 30s and lows in the 20s.
No, you're absolutely right. We'll drop down to from those 40s tomorrow and Thursday down to probably the low 30s Friday and over the weekend. Then we warm. There may be another little spike the middle of next week. But that introduces a system that might put us close to some snow, and then still colder comes in late next week, and that's when we might start seeing the cold intensify some. At this point, we don't see a polar vortex coming down, or what we call a polar vortex, or what's been dubbed that by the media, is really not technically a polar vortex, but it's a term that's been applied to these cold air surges like that thing we had a couple of years ago. The polar vortex is technically a big band of winds that circle the polar regions in the upper atmosphere. That's the polar vortex, but chunks of cold air can come down off that cold air pool up there, and it's been dubbed, although not technically correctly so, the polar vortex. Still, having said all that, I don't see barbaric cold at this point, certainly not in the next 2 weeks. Later next week, things could get colder. But even that doesn't look at this distance like a polar vortex, but we'll keep an eye on that.
Okay. What should we be calling it, if not a polar vortex? What's the correct terminology?
Arctic outbreak. Arctic surge.
Outbreak. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, the thrust of the thing is correct. The fact that the public understands that this is kind of abnormal cold when we have that coming down. It's like that thing we had a couple of years ago in late January and February. We had had a mild year, much as we have this year. Mm-hmm. 10 of the last 12 months have been above normal in temperature. It's been a very warm period. And the country just finished its fifth warmest year in 2020 on record. And it's also been a year of above normal precipitation over our area. And it continues a trend toward that. But other areas of the country have been very low in terms of precip. The snow across the Midwest has been remarkably below normal. Talk to folks in upper Michigan or downwind of the Great Lakes. They'll tell you, wow, across the lake in Michigan where they normally get lake snow. They'll tell you that, hey, we've had snow, but it's been nothing like we normally get around here. So it's been a very mild winter so far.
Tom, can you hang on a second? I want to ask you if you have ever participated in the polar plunge. Don't answer that yet. They're doing something really different this year, but I want to hear if you have any experiences with that. All right, back with Tom Skilling right now, and we've just heard from him before the break about how we're not looking at any barbaric cold in the immediate forecast. None of that polar vortexy thing that we saw before, but you said it's actually should be called an Arctic outbreak. We've all been calling it the wrong terminology. We've been using the wrong words, but that's what it is, and you've settled that for us, Tom. Hey, let me just ask you this, though, Tom. The coldest point of winter, tell us historically when that typically is.
We're there. The next couple of weeks have historically been the coldest over the course of history, recorded history. Our records go back to 1871. So we're in that period now. We're also in a period where, and we all know this, I mean, we had the 67 blizzard in late January. We had the 79 Mike Bolandic, Jane Byrne blizzard in 67 blizzard in late January, which is our benchmark snowstorm around here, crippled the city. Then a little over a decade later in 79, we had the Michael Bolandic, Jane Byrne blizzard. And we've had other storms at this time of the year. So this is the time of the year where you really, as a meteorologist, start watching the maps even closer than you normally do, just for signs something like that might be developing. We don't see such a thing yet, but there are a couple of systems down the road that may start producing snow in the next couple of weeks. We'll watch those with care.
And then
you were asking, though, Anna, about the polar plunge.
Have you ever done the cooler plunge? I have not, but I'm decided that this may be the first year I'll actually attempt to do that. And the reason
Are you kidding?
Well, listen to this. Listen to this. They're doing it differently this year. So before you call me heroic or courageous or anything, let me just tell you. Plunge where you are. It's a virtual plunge this year. You know, it's basically, they say, jump in an ice cold bathtub. If you've got an outdoor swimming pool you can install, like one of those little, you know, above ground ones, fill it with ice water. Take a cold shower, do a snow angel in your bathing suit. They're telling you do whatever you want, and that you'll just post a picture, and that counts this year. You in, Tom?
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll fill a warm bathtub with water that's steaming, and I'll claim it's steaming because it's cold inside the home, you know, and try and fake it. How's that?
You're a scientist. No one would doubt you.
You know, Anna, what's wonderful about these polar plunges, though, I know a lot of these are done for charity. Yeah. And I'm telling you, the people who do that, I don't know how they do it. I remember as a kid, I went up to YMCA camp in New York State. We were living at that time out in New Jersey. And my dad and I went up. It was a weekend with your father. And I jumped into a lake up there in the Catskills in upstate New York that was fed by a runoff from snow up in the mountains. And it was so cold. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, I nearly blacked out when I hit that water. And that is nowhere near as cold as what we see the polar plungers go into around here. I don't know how they do it, but they do it for charity, and their hearts are, you know, in the right place. And you got to admire that, because I don't know that I could do that. I think I'd probably die on the spot if I hit water that cold. What do you think?
I'm supporting them in spirit. I've never done it personally. I was curious to see if you had done it, because I'm sure you've been asked many, many times to do it. So I didn't know if you had been out there.
You know what? They must know that I'm a, you know, I'm a laggard in that department, because nobody's ever asked me. And thank goodness, because I'd feel brokenhearted if I didn't support the cause. But I think it's health threatening for somebody like me. But I don't know. Who knows?
Well, you got to take care of yourself. You know what's best for your body. And I wouldn't want you to put anything yourself in danger. But you're right. It is for special children's charities, Special Olympics Chicago. And they have a virtual sign up if people want to go to it, because it's the Polar Plunge Society,
right,
or the polar bear people. They, you know, you can go to their website, you sign up, and it's kind of cool that people, they're still figuring out a way to do it. You know, last year I was looking at the photos. A fellow meteorologist, Al Roker, did it. He came here, you know, to support the Today Show and support the cause. Remember? But the interesting part, everyone was making it sound like it was no big deal, because the air temperature was like 57 degrees, and they thought, oh, that's going to be a breeze. But the water temperature is still outrageously cold, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I remember that. It seems to be the water temperature was still in the upper 30s or something like that, even though the air was warm. Let me tell you, you hit water in the 50s, and it's cold. I remember as a kid, we used to go to the ocean, and you get a front to pass, and you get upwelling along the shoreline, and the water temp would crash from like the low 70s to the mid 50s. And going into that water was challenging, let alone water that's upper 30s. We shouldn't diminish the significance of what was done there. By the way, I've never met Al Roker personally. We've indirectly, through indirect communications, occasionally had a communication. What a nice guy.
Yeah.
He really is
genuinely
quite amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. I've had a few moments to meet him briefly when he's come to do promos when I was at NBC. And he just as you say, no one's Tom Skilling, because you're the Chicago treasure and universally loved and appreciated for all of your skills as well. But he is genuinely a nice, just a good hearted type of guy. And that's awesome. Awesome stuff.
He is a nice man. No question about it.
Tom, when does the other shoe
drop? Nice people in our business.
It's especially locally. I find that in Chicago, we've got a great bunch here. We really do.
We do.
It's true. So when's the other shoe going to drop on our weather here? When's it going to get super cold? What's your prediction here? Just looking out there, Tom, what can you tell us?
What's coming in later in the week, we're going to get a cold pool to come in here of moderate strength, but still chilly compared to what we'll go through the next couple of days. So we're talking like going from the low 40s tomorrow on Thursday to the low 30s, I think Saturday, Sunday, probably Monday, Tuesday, and there's going to be a big upper air low that develops with this cold pool, and that usually preserves cloud cover and produces snow flurries or snow showers at times. So that's kind of the regime we get into on Thursday night, Friday, even into Saturday. And Sunday, Monday will be more cloudy than not. There may be peaks of sun. However, there seem to be little upper waves that come through in the afternoon and evening. So the flurries that will be scattered in the morning, Sunday and Monday, could grow to some more substantial snow showers in the afternoon and evening. We're not talking huge accumulations here, but a little more snow than we've seen in a year that's been shy in that department. We've only had a little over 5 inches of snow. We should have had more than a foot by now. So we're running about half normal, less than that on snowfall. And I guess any snow will look kind of eventful. Then, you know, it's later next week, a more substantial cold punch could come down. But next week doesn't look like any heat wave, I'll tell you that. Most highs will be in the anywhere from the upper 20s to the mid 30s and maybe lowering to the lower 20s, something like that, later next week and the following weekend. We'll keep an eye on that because sometimes, you know, when you look that far ahead, we often look at what's called a blend of models where you average across these global models that help us so. And they tend to indicate, some of them, that it'll be even a little colder than that. So we'll see.
All right, we'll take a look at that. And in the meantime, I just want to put the website out there. I just found it. It's ChicagoPolarBearClub.com if you want to sign up for the virtual plump. Fill up the bathtub, Tom, whatever you need to do. But now you can participate. You and me, people who are not really into the you know, or wimps about the freezing cold water, can still participate this year. So awesome.
Yeah. Hey, anything to support the effort of these folks. I'm telling you, I would suspect, Anna, and we know, given what's gone on in the past year with COVID-19 and all the rest, there are a lot of people who need help now than more so than has been the case so often in the past. And we always have folks we have to help. So that they do wonderful work, these charities.
Well said, Tom. Very well said. It's a good thing to think about at every point you can. If you can't help, then it's a good time to do it because, Pete, there is the need. That's for sure. Hey, Tom, thank you. And I'm happy 2021 is going well for you personally. And we
Anna,
get to talk
you
to you
too.
Next week.
And see you next week. And it's always a pleasure to talk to you, Anna. And again, happy new year to you and to all of our listeners. Let's hope this is a year full of happiness and good health. And that we get this COVID-19 in the rearview mirror at some
Amen
point.
Amen to that. Thank you, Tom.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you later, okay? We'll talk to you next Tuesday. And Tom Skilling's segment is sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems.